Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. And we'll be continuing today going through our study of the book of 1 Thessalonians. We're here in chapter number 2. We've been looking at verse number 1, which says, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain." So here we have the Apostle Paul as he's addressing these saints in the local assembly at Thessalonica. And he starts going back to the entrance that he had into them when he was first teaching this message to them. And I want to go back into that text to what he's actually making a reference to, which is back in the book of Acts. Let's go to Acts chapter number 17 for a moment to see what the Apostle Paul is actually making a reference to here. And here in Acts chapter number 17, we're going to start here at verse number 1. "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed, and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews." Now here we have the Apostle Paul coming unto this assembly in Thessalonica, preaching to them, as it says, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead. So you see him teaching some things about what it is that the death, burial, and resurrection accomplished of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you see how he goes in, and for 3 Sabbath days, he's going in teaching them certain things. So he's there for only a span of 3 weeks that he's actually teaching, giving them this information. And you have the Apostle Paul referring back to this time and talking about how his coming in unto them was not in vain. And you see how even as it describes what was going on in this city, as he's preaching this message, you see how there's a number of people that actually believed what it was that he was saying and were ministering with Paul and Silas. And you also see how there are a number of people who rejected what was being said, and how as a result of this rejection they rise individuals up that way to oppose what Paul, Silas, and those who are ministering with him were actually doing. So there's an opposition to the truth of what God's word says. Now, in every dispensation until the fullness of times and God sets up the new heaven and the new earth, there will always be opposition to the plan of God. You know, that's what Satan is trying to do, is to oppose whatever it is that God is doing. Now, during this dispensation, he's opposing the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mysteries, opposing the preaching of the gospel message that's been given to the Apostle Paul, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and believing in that and that alone for our salvation. This is the message that Satan opposes, and this is the message that the world as a whole is going to be opposing at this time. And that's what we actually see today when we see the number of people, the number of ministries that are not teaching the truth of what God's word says. We see the opposition to this truth. We see the problems that are going on in our society as a result of the truth not being preached. And that's why the Apostle Paul, when he's saying that, talking about him going in unto them, seeing the fact that it was not in vain, he's holding up and saying that he saw the results of what it was that he was doing. Because that idea of vain, that's empty. So what he was doing was not empty. There was something that's going to result from what it is that he was doing. That's the evidence that he has been looking at, that he has been seeing of the fact that the gospel actually took root in them. The gospel has been working. The gospel is producing something in these individuals. That's why when you go back into 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, you see what it is that is actually causing this to actually take root in them, causing this thing where it's not vain. Because in chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians, when you read in verse number 13, when it says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believe." The individuals in the local assembly of Thessalonica were taking the things that the Apostle Paul was teaching them, and they weren't just taking it as, well, this is just Paul's thoughts, this is Paul's philosophy on things. They were accepting everything that the Apostle Paul was teaching and considering it to be the Word of God. And as a result of them accepting the fact that it was the Word of God, you see it describes it that it effectually works in them that believe, because the Word of God is always going to work in the individuals that are accepting it as the Word of God. That's why you see when the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 10 talks about, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God," that it's the Word of God which is going to produce faith in the individual. It's the Word of God, because the Word of God is truth. The Word of God works in the individual. It produces, as he talks about in Romans chapter number 12, the renewing of the mind, that as a person is taking the doctrine into themselves and understanding that what the Apostle Paul wrote in the book, starting in the book of Romans, ending with the book of Philemon, that information is contained in those 13 epistles, is the truth of the information that we need for this dispensation today. This is the Word of God which is going to effectually work in individuals. This is the Word of God that was working in the lives of those who are in Thessalonica, that was producing the change that God intends to see. Now, we see the Apostle Paul pray for this in other local assemblies. Let's look over to the book of Colossians. We'll go to Colossians chapter number 1, where we'll see the Apostle Paul is going to be offering up a prayer for these saints that are in the local assembly in Colossae. And we see what it is that the Apostle Paul is praying for them here. We're going to start right at verse number 9 of Colossians chapter number 1, which says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And we see as the Apostle Paul is praying for these individuals, you see the very first thing that he's praying for them is that they would, as he says in verse 9, ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. He's praying for them to come to a greater knowledge of what God's will is for them during this dispensation. The only way that we have an understanding of what God's will for us is during this dispensation is by understanding what's written in the Word of God for us today. So he's praying for them to actually come to a greater knowledge of what the Word of God says. So he's praying for them to be studying, to be, you know, applying the Word of God to their lives, doing the things, you know, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This is what the Apostle Paul is praying for these individuals, because as the person is studying the Word of God, taking it into themselves, and always when I say studying this in that principle, the verse I just quoted, which is the idea of right division, so we have to understand that there are passages that are going to directly apply to me today. There's passages that will not directly apply to me today. When I understand this and I take the Word of God in that light, study it out, applying the things that directly apply to me during this dispensation, 1 Corinthians is going to talk about how the Spirit is going to communicate with the Spirit that's inside of me, giving me the understanding of what the Word of God says. So that way I have that renewing of the mind occurring, and I become more knowledgeable about what the Word of God says. I come to that greater understanding. I'm filled with the knowledge of His will. I understand exactly what God intends for me today. And that's what the Apostle Paul says that these individuals in Thessalonica were seeing. The Apostle Paul understood fully what his responsibility was. And let's go over to Ephesians chapter number 3, where we're going to see the Apostle Paul lay out the responsibility that he saw that he had for himself. And here in Ephesians chapter number 3, we're going to start here at verse number 7. It says, whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul sees that his responsibility is to, as he says, preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. So he's preaching the message that has been given to him, and it's considered to be unsearchable because you cannot find it in any other part of Scripture other than what the Apostle Paul wrote. So I can't go back and, for example, the book of Genesis and find the dispensation of the grace of God. I can only find it in Romans through Philemon. So that makes it unsearchable. But the other part of his responsibility is when he says, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery? His responsibility is to be preaching this message, carrying it forward, doing what in 1 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse 4, when it talks about that the will of God is that all men would be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So the idea of that there's salvation that needs to be preached, but once a person receives salvation, the next piece of it is that they're supposed to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So as Paul would see this from the idea of making a person see the fellowship of the mystery, is once they receive salvation, they need to have the message of the dispensation of the grace of God continue to be preached to them, so that way they can have the edification and the exhortation occurring, becoming the thing of where they have that knowledge of the truth, that they understand what in Colossians was going to happen, because as a person comes to that knowledge that they have, the end result of it is that they're going to, as he says, walk worthy. The knowledge of the dispensation of the grace of God, the knowledge of the doctrine that's laid out in Paul's epistles, is going to affect the daily walk of a believer today, giving the person the understanding of exactly what it is that we are supposed to be doing in order to be pleasing to God. And when a person is doing that, as Paul's talking about in Thessalonica in chapter 2 and verse 1 of that epistle, when he's saying about that his preaching wasn't in vain to them because they were taking the things that were being said to them, they were applying it to their lives, allowing it to have an impact on them, so that way they would be going out and continuing to preach this message unto others, allowing this message to keep going forth, so that way God's will be carried out, when it says that God's will is that all men would be saved. The Apostle Paul, over in the book of Philippians, let's go to Philippians chapter number 1, we're going to see in his epistle to the church at Philippi, he's going to be talking about some things of where there's a fellowship that comes about as a result of being in this message. You see in chapter 1 of Philippians in verse 5, it says, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. So there's a fellowship in the gospel that he's making a reference to. Let's go over to chapter number 2. You can see another instance of him talking about this fellowship here in chapter 2 verses 1 and 2, and says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. So there's a fellowship of the Spirit that he's making a reference to. You see in chapter number 3, he's going to make one more reference here to a fellowship in this epistle in chapter 3 verse 10, when he says that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Now, all of these different passages that are pointing to this fellowship, all that comes about as a person is doing the things that God intends, allowing the word of God to be working in them, allowing us that way it could be said that what was going on was not in vain. The sad thing is that when we look at what's happening to the body of Christ, you know, not only over the years, but what's happening today, is that there are a number of individuals who are giving up on this message, who are stopping teaching the information that the Apostle Paul was given. They're stopping to teach this gospel message, and the result of it is that this message isn't going forward. People aren't being saved, and what they're doing would really be described as being vain. It would be empty. There's nothing profitable that's coming from what they're doing. This is why you see the warnings as Paul was writing 2 Timothy. You see how he starts giving all these warnings to Timothy about what was going to happen as we were getting closer and closer to the end of this dispensation, as people were turning away from the truth of what he's been given. You see how in the beginning part of the book, he starts talking about how that all that are in Asia have turned away from him. And that's a large number of assemblies that the Apostle Paul is making a reference to. But you see how it even carries out further. Let's go into chapter number 4 of 2 Timothy, where we're going to see him describe something that's even going to affect this assembly that we've been studying here. And here in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, I want to read here verse number 10. It says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia." So you see the Apostle Paul, as he's closing this epistle, he starts naming these individuals. He names Demas, he names Crescens, he names Titus, and he says that what they've done is they've loved this present world and departed from the truth of what it is that he's been teaching. They've seen all the sufferings, all the things that are going on as a result of, you know, their teaching of this message, and they want no more part of it. And as a result of wanting no more part of what's going on, they're departing unto this world. And he starts naming the places that they're going off to. And he names Thessalonica, Galatia, and Dalmatia as being places that they could go to and escape the teaching of the Word of God, rightly divided. One of those places, in the first one, is he talked about Demas, is Thessalonica. The place that he's, in this epistle, he's holding up as that example of what it is that the body of Christ should be doing. He holds them up as a group of people who accepted what he was teaching as the Word of God, and holds them up as, you know, this pattern that they should be. And by the end of his ministry, the assembly there is no longer functioning. It went from being a profitable ministry to what he's really saying, that he's glad that they weren't. When he's saying that he's glad that they weren't vain, at the end of his ministry, what was going on? It was empty. There was nothing good that was coming out of that assembly. And that's a danger that all members of the body of Christ really have to be watching for themselves and making sure that they're staying true to what the Word of God, rightly divided, actually says. That's why the Apostle Paul, let's go back over to the book of Philippians. We'll go to Philippians chapter number 2, when he's going to describe here what the responsibility that we have is. And here in chapter 2, let's read verse number 15. It says that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Now, it's very easy to describe the world today in that condition of being a crooked and perverse nation. You know, all you have to do is you turn on television and you see exactly what that crooked and perverse nation really is. And the Apostle Paul is saying that our responsibility is to be shining as lights in this world. And the only way that we can be shining as lights in this world is by staying true to the Word of God, rightly divided. Staying true to the message that's been given to the Apostle Paul, preaching this message, sharing it with others, so that way they can come unto the knowledge of the truth. They can receive that salvation that God intends for them to have. Now, in our next episode, we're going to start in verse number 2, of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. And as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our messages. We have information about how to join our Sunday services, either live on Facebook or live on, they're being broadcast live on YouTube and then actually being saved on YouTube as well. So if you go onto YouTube and type in Grace Family Bible Church, you'll see our Sunday services being uploaded there as well. We have information on our website about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. And as always, I would like to remind everyone, if you ever have any questions or comments about, you know, anything in these broadcasts, anything you see in our messages, anything that's on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And we're always open and we answer any question that comes our way. So until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.